Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody. Happy Hump Day. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Stephen Gies. This is episode number 118. Imagine that, Steve. 118.
118. Wow. How you doing up there in Michigan?
Doing great. Nice Indian summer going on. It's warm out. It's sunny. It's just been beautiful. And a week from now, it's going to be cold. But, hey, all right, at least we're getting some late summer warmth.
Yeah, I had set up a big terrarium last month and corralled all 21 of my tree frogs that were out there living all around the deck and brought them in for the winter. And they're all sitting there looking out the window at this 80-something degree sunny weather we're having and wondering, what the heck? It's like, yeah, well, you wouldn't want to be out there at night, you know. So I just before we came on, I went over and fed them a bunch of crickets. That's become a thing. People stop by the house, and the first thing they want to do is, hey, has the frogs eaten yet? Can we feed them? Life is rough.
All right, over, we're going to start things off with over on Twitter. We got Verwang Greenho. He's sharing his latest Vela. My murder investigation in the marsh is now available as an ebook, paperback, and Vela very soon Audible. A woman leaves the party in a snowstorm and isn't found for eight days, tied to a tree. Follow the investigation to the final standoff. All right. Good job, Verwang.
With Marlena Smith Burris is promoting the show, and you got another one from Verwang.
Yeah, Verwang says, I read Beam Weeks' post that Marsha had a physics degree and worked with NASA. That must have been exciting. I was and am still a big fan of the space program. Astrology is another interest. What can you tell us about those years? I also love Pete's family history. We will get to our guests here in a little bit. We have some of this, some news to read first, but we'll ask that question when the guests come in here, Verwang.
Definitely.
All right.
So we want to announce that this Saturday, coming up 3 days from now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days from now, a couple months ago, I was a guest on the Carters Meet the Author video podcast, which airs every Wednesday evening in the hour slot before our audio podcast. And that episode, they're going to rerun it again this Saturday. So that's Saturday at 5:30 Eastern time. And you can do the math if you're living across in another time zone. Go over to YouTube if you want and click on the live, and you can post comments, and we'll be monitoring and responding to your comments, even though it's an archived show. So that's my favorite way to do it. Just make, you know, smart aleck remarks to comments and not actually have to answer questions.
Yeah, and speaking of the Meet the Authors podcast, theirs is on right before ours. We got a little advertisement for them.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Joan. We would like to join us on Meet the Authors podcast live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S.
Yeah, Meet the Author podcast is a live video podcast produced in association with WLFE-D Radio, airing on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Shortly after each episode ends, it's released on a dozen major podcast platforms.
We have casual conversations with authors of many genres. You will often hear humorous stories from their lives or sometimes some very poignant stories. Some of these people have overcome great obstacles to become authors. However, it's always a fun time.
It always is. So come join the fun, make comments, ask questions. We hope to see you at Meet the Author podcast live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find all the program links at indiebooksource.com. Until then.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, that's a video podcast, and you can find that on YouTube. Find those all their episodes on YouTube at their Indie Book Source channel. Just go to YouTube and type in Indie Book Source. I believe you can also find it on Facebook at Indie Book Source, and just look for the Meet the Author podcast. It's a great, great podcast, and the episode that Stephen was on, it's entertaining and it's educational as he talks a little bit about writing and publishing and all that cool stuff. So get over there and check it out. Now, if you want to participate in tonight's show, you can do it through telephone calls, call in with your questions or comments for our tonight's guest, or do it over there on Twitter. And this is how you can do all that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Whee!
Yeah.
So we've been working on a couple of audio books, looking over Beam's shoulder and saying, what's taking so long here? As he waits each time for the voiceover people to keep sending him files, adding the music, adding the sound effects, getting it all edited together and stuff. And we've got one, I'm going to announce one, that he's going to announce one that we just uploaded this week and so far have been accepted. So we're looking for them to go live and be for sale sometime in the coming days. What I'm going to announce is Mad Max and Sweet Sarah by Ellie Collins. This is the third book in her Greek mythology series. Not going to tell you much about it because our first commercial tonight is about that series, so we'll let the commercial tell the story. But the Mad Max audiobook should be for sale by next week's show. And, of course, those of you who subscribe to the newsletter and actually open it and look at it, you can find out what the for sale date is, the pre-sale or whatever, and there should be a link right there so you can check it out.
Yeah, the other one is Jenny Wong's Girl Wears Those Shoes. And that one was just finished, and as Stephen said, they've been uploaded to ACX, and they've been accepted, and we're just waiting. And this one is, if you've read the book, the reading stays truthful to the book, and it's just really cool how this was all put together. And both of them are going to be something that we're all proud of. So, again, pay attention to that newsletter, and if you're not subscribed, here's how you can do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right.
So your turn, Beam.
No, you got your book sales. Top five?
Okay. Apparently we skipped over How to Teach Driving, Parents and Instructors Editions, and How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Tennessee.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I've got that after you do your – after the newsletter ad is your stuff and then mine. So, I mean
– All right. Mine's in a different order. Right now the five top-selling print books that are Fresh Ink Group books, we've had – couple that have been in here for like more than a month now. Submariner is in the number one slot. That's Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. It's also in the number five slot. But that number five slot's been alternating between that book, two of J. Edge Looney's books, Practical Problems and Figuratively Speaking, and a couple of times the How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Florida. The first book in the Food Truck Business series has been in that fifth slot. But otherwise, two slots are taken up by How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Georgia. Right now they're in three and four. And in the number two slot, care to guess who's in number two, Beam?
That would be Mark Herndon.
Yeah, it would be Mark Herndon, Country Music Hall of Fame drummer, played with the supergroup Alabama for nearly three decades. His memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, is in the number two slot this week. So congratulations, everybody.
Yeah. Now, How to Teach Driving, Parents and Instructors Edition, and How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Tennessee. Those books are going to be out in the coming weeks, so get subscribed to the newsletter so you know when it's going to be. Look on Twitter. We'll be sharing it all over the place, Facebook, Instagram. you name it. We're, if it's there, we've got it covered. So keep an
eye
out.
We've got another one that we published last night. Those of you who are regulars will recall about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had Larry Jorgensen on the show talking about his book, Shipwrecked and Rescued. It goes back to the 1920s when 240 1927 Chryslers were being shipped, and the ship foundered up in Lake Superior and got stranded, and the crew had to be rescued, and things got real ugly. And they mounted a rescue of the old vintage cars. And he went up there and thoroughly researched this, collected hundreds of old photos, and talked to some of the people who knew what was going on, and put that whole story together in the book Shipwrecked and Rescued. And he self-published that through a printing company, one of those situations where you go have them do a layout for you, and then they print, offset print, a couple hundred copies for you and sell them to you. And he went on a book tour across the north, the northern states, Michigan, Wisconsin, that area up there, and sold out. I mean, they were going like gangbusters. So he came to us, and we have put that book together in a new edition, upgraded some of the photos, added a little bit of more stuff to it, and put out what we think is a very nice version of Shipwrecked and Rescued. And like I say, we published it last night. It'll probably go live tomorrow, next day at the latest. So by next week's newsletter, we should have an announcement about that and a link that you can go get your Fresh Ink Group edition. Another difference here is when he self-published that, he had soft covers printed. We're doing the Dust Jacketed hardcover edition, soft covers, and all of the ebook formats, and we're doing full distribution worldwide so that you don't have to buy your book from him. You can buy it from all your favorite retailers. Shipwrecked and Rescued. Watch for that.
And we had him on the show here, you know, a month or so back, and what an interesting guy. Interesting story. And, so keep an eye out for that. And if you've ever missed the show, that happens, you get busy and you miss the show, or there's a show that you want to hear again and again and again, or you're new to the program and you missed, this is number 118, and you missed the previous 117 episodes, well, you can find every one of our episodes in the archives. And here are all those places where this show is archived.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indie Archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
All right, so tonight we have two guests. So I'm going to read the bio for one, and Stephen's going to read the bio for the other guest, and we're going to bring him in. Marcia Fox earned a bachelor's degree in physics from Utah State University in 1987, which led to a 20-plus year career at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Her interests expand far beyond the world of aerospace and hard science, however. The esoteric realm of metaphysics and all things weird and wonderful hold her interest as well. Forever fascinated by the heavens, when her attempt to debunk astrology backfired, she pursued knowledge in that field as well. She graduated from the International Academy of Astrology's Professional Development Program in 2012 and created ValkyrieAstrology.com. ValkyrieAstrology.com. Her previous fiction includes her epic Star Trails Tetralogy series, which has been highly acclaimed for its family-oriented plot, as well as its palatable and accurate space or science content. Born in Peekskill, New York, she has lived in California, Utah, and Texas in the course of raising her family. She has 6 grown children, numerous grandchildren, and great-grandchildren.
All right. And I'm going to endorse that tetralogy and another book that also went with it, because that's some great science fiction. And I'm a science fiction fan. I've read a few books. I know what I'm talking about. Now, we're kicking off Native American History Month this month, which is the entire month of November here in the U.S., with these guests who are co-authors. You just heard about Marcia. Her co-author in the Dead Horse Canyon series is Pete Risingsun. Pete Risingsun is an enrolled member of the Northern Cheyenne tribe. He is recognized as a ceremonial man who is well-versed in his tribe's ceremonies and traditions of the Creator's Circle of Life. His experience includes serving as a spirit helper to medicine men in ceremonial sweat lodges where traditional procedures are meticulously followed. Sweat lodge keepers earn their right to function in that role. After completing his vow to fast 4 times at the sacred mountain, he earns 4 paints, each of which has important ceremonial significance. Pete is a proud 5th-generation descendant of Chief Iron Shirt, his great-great-grandfather, who was a lodge keeper and powerful medicine man who lived to be 98 years old. At 95, he still rode his white horse to the Busby, Montana Fair. Chief Iron Shirt is shown on their website. If you go over and check out the Dead Horse Canyon website, hyphens between Dead Horse and Canyon. So you can see some cool pictures over there. Pete was born in 1950. The 8th child of 10, and raised on a small ranch east of Busby, Montana, where he became a horseman and hunter at a very young age. When he was 12, he shot his first deer and also caught a young bald eagle. He and his uncle, David Seminole, raised it in a large cage for 3 years. They took 4 tail feathers for Pete's traditional dancing bustle and then set the eagle free. This uncle taught him traditional dancing as well as how to ride a horse. After graduating high school in 1968, he attended Montana State University for 4 years. He's the proud father of 1 daughter, Echo Rain, oh, I love that name, who blessed him with 2 very special grandchildren, Sierra Star and Skylar 7. He's teaching his grandson about the Cheyenne way of life, which has so far included a sweat lodge and cloth ceremony. Welcome to the show, Marcia and Pete.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
Are we there, Pete?
Are you there, Pete?
Yeah. I'm here.
How are you doing today, Pete?
I'm good.
Good.
All right. So, Marcia, let's catch the listeners up. I read your bio. You've lived in California, New York, Utah, Texas. Where are you currently living now, and are you still working? Are you retired? What are you doing?
I am just working as an author and astrologer these days. I live in a rural area outside of a little town called Burnet in central Texas, basically northwest of Austin, about 90 miles from the boonies by a beautiful big lake, Lake Buchanan. I live in a little somewhat dry paradise the last year or so, but good place.
Yeah, that's a beautiful lake there where you live, but hasn't it been like flat bottoming for the last couple of years or so?
Well, it did, and then it came back, and it was doing great for a few years, and now we're in another drought, and so it's kind of disappearing again. And so it's troubling, but in due time, it eventually does come back up, but it's always sad to see it, like someone pulled the plug on a bathtub, you know.
Yeah. Now, Pete, you are still in Montana, is that right?
Yes, I am.
And you're in an assisted living facility? What's that like? Is it a big community, small community? Is it a lot of Native Americans, or what's it like?
Well, it's a very nice facility that's located just off the reservation in a border town, and it was built by a priest named Father Emmett Hoffman, and the residents were, there's a few more Native Americans versus the white folks, and there's only like about 16 of us that live here for now, but it's got a facility, that would house up to like 42 people, but the pandemic made us go backwards.
Yeah. Now, we learned about Marcia's career spanning from NASA to astrology now, keeping her busy as well. After you graduated from Montana State, you were offered a job by Exxon, is that right?
Yes, I was.
So what happened with that?
Well, they offered me a position overseas, and I thought about it real hard, and at the same time, I had an uncle named Ted Rising Sun, he came and found me in Billings, Montana, and offered me a job on the reservation. So he said to me, those of you who have education need to come home and help the others. So I listened to his advice, and I moved back home to be the adult education director.
Wow. That's so, Exxon was probably, you know, bigger paychecks and of course a lot of demands on your time and whatnot, but it sounds like you chose to do something to help your people and that you thought would be the right thing to do. You feeling pretty good about that?
Yeah, I do. I don't have any regrets. And yeah, I started at the refinery when I was 22 years old, and I think about how I could have retired and all the money I could have made, but you know, I made the right choice. I went home and I learned a lot about who I really truly was.
Okay, now we're in the beginning of Native American Heritage Month. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Pete? Are we seeing a lot of accuracy online about it, or is there misinformation about it? Fill us in.
Well, in reference to the misinformation.
Yeah, he's asking about your tribe specifically. That,
yeah.
You know, when you go try to learn about the Cheyenne tribe online, is that yeah. stuff all accurate or no?
Yeah, I follow you. In regard to the Northern Cheyenne tribe and the misinformation, you know, in history we were identified and described as hostile, savage people, and that's not who we are. We are really the opposite of that. And and there, you know, there's some books that have been written that are I give a lot of credibility to, and there's a book, a set of books. There's two volumes. It's called Sweet Medicine 1 and 2, and there's also another set of two volumes called People of the Sacred Mountain, and they were written by a Father Peter Powell, who was a black robe. He came to the St. Lebray Mission when he was a young man back in the 50s when I was born. But I remember him as a child, and he was a very close friends with a grandfather and grandma, John Stanzentimber and Josie. And he wrote those books based upon accurate information. And I just spoke to him yesterday, and I had to call the Bradford Britain Museum to get his phone number. But I went to visit him in Chicago at one time. He lives there. He's lived there a long time, but he would come out and spend the summers with the Cheyenne people. And when I called the Bradford Britain and got his phone number, Ken Schuster, who was there, we had a short conversation, and he said, yeah, Father Peter Powell, he loves the Cheyenne people, and he identifies them as the real people. So when I was talking to Father Peter Powell after that phone call, he identified us as the holy people, because we had our traditional ways, our Cheyenne way of life involved a very sophisticated, self-governing law and order and ceremonial way of life, that we were a very healthy people. So, with that said, in regard to someone's interested in learning more about the Northern Cheyenne, there's also a book called Cheyenne Memories that was authored by Margot Liberty. And she has a PhD in anthropology. And she narrated the book. She taught school on the reservation for 4 years and got connected to my grandfather, John Stanton Timber. And he was a self-made Cheyenne historian. And so they worked together for years, and they published some really nice books about the Cheyenne. And there's also another author named George Bird Grinnell. So, yeah.
Well, that's great.
And,
it's good that people like you are around to keep it honest, too, and to be able to look at these things and see what's right and what's not, to know the history of your own people and what's been passed down in your own family and among your friends and whatnot. Now, that notion about things being authentic and accurate, I understand, is the reason that Marcia and you got together in the first place. Marcia, you want to tell us about that? How did you find Pete, and why did you go looking for him?
Well, I like my books to be accurate. I just don't want someone to come along and say that's just totally not true or inaccurate or wrong or whatever. And that... Actually, one of the reasons I got a physics degree was so that I could write decent science fiction, but that's another story. Anyway, as I was writing the first book in the series, The Curse of Dead Horse Canyon, I got the first draft going, and then I wanted a Native American to give it a sanity check. I wanted to make sure that any representation I had in there was accurate and that it wasn't offensive and just was spot on, instead of something that if a Native American read it, they'd think, oh boy, this white woman's an idiot, you know. So, you know. And,
wouldn't
and
be the first time.
Well, I'm telling you, I've learned so much about Native American history that there are days that I am embarrassed to be a white person. But anyway, I was familiar with where Pete lives, and so I wrote to the person who's the manager of it and ask about Pete, because they send out a newsletter and they featured Pete in one of the newsletters, and he told me how to get in touch with him, and I got in touch with him, and we struck a deal where he read over the book, and he at first was a consultant, and I was paying him for his knowledge, and then at a certain point he got so involved in the story. He just absolutely is a natural storyteller. And at a certain point, he evolved into being the co-author for the whole series.
Cool.
And so it
was
just, you know, very cool the way it evolved. And I was so lucky to find him and someone who had such a natural gift for storytelling. And yeah, and so the rest is kind of history, and the two books we've already put out, and we're working on the third one.
Well, that's exciting. We're going to have to roll a commercial here so we can knock a couple of these out, and then we've got a question from Joe Consul on Twitter when we come back, and we're still looking for some phone callers. If anybody's out there is interested in calling in and participating, the number is 516. Go ahead, dial it right now, 516-453-9902. And this is the Greek Mythology Series by young Ellie Collins.
Hey, young adults. I'm author Ellie Collins. Check out my first three novels in my mythology series, where Greek goddesses help us teens resolve problems from bullying to relationships. Now in print, digital, or audiobooks, with music and sound effects. Book one is Daisy Bold and Beautiful.
After a moment or two of silence, laughter filled the room, and students quickly began comparing notes on who had read the directions and who had fallen for the trick. DJ shared a smile with Hudson, as they both belonged to the Figured It Out group.
Book two is Miley in the Mirror.
Sam shot a cocky grin in Miley's direction. She didn't want him getting the idea she was fangirling on him or anything, and run the risk of future game invitations.
Mad Max and Sweet Sarah is the new third book, so we're still producing the audiobook version. Go to freshinkgroup.com or your favorite retailer to learn more and order now.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have to wrangle Ellie to update this commercial now that the third book is done, and we can add add some more to this commercial. We're going to go over to Twitter real quick because Joe Congill has a couple of tweets here. The first one, he's saying, "Hi, everyone. Looking forward to tonight's show. Always good to have you in the audience, Joe." And then he says, "Hi, Marcia. With all the years you spent working with NASA, you must have a take on the subject of UFOs and ETs. What are your thoughts on all that? Do you keep an ET in your garage?"
No, not that I'm aware of. Actually, any of my thoughts or opinions on UFOs would not hail from my time in NASA. I didn't encounter anything along those lines there, except one time I did come across a document that described something about if you encountered an alien. And we passed it around the office, and we were all laughing and whatever. But undoubtedly, it was serious. Probably somewhere in my vast pile of things that I gathered while I was working at NASA, I still have that, and I'll have to, you know, find it someday. But anyway, yeah, I totally believe in them. I guess most of my opinions derive from Ancient Aliens on the History Channel and a lot of breathing. And then when I wrote the Terror debacle, Prisoners at Area 51, which is kind of a side story to the Star Trek tetralogy, I did quite a bit of research on Area 51, and it was definitely very interesting. And so I guess that pretty much sums it up.
All right. Well, we got a caller, so let's see what the caller, what kind of question the caller has. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
If you're talking to me, I'm Jeff Parker. I'm in Michigan.
And hi, Jeff.
Hi. Pete, I have some questions for you about Northern Cheyenne in the Northern Nevada area in the 1970s. I was in San Francisco at Antioch College. Antioch's a very forward-reaching program, and one of the things that they gave us as a like a field trip in an anthropology trip, we went to an area from San Francisco to north of Reno. There was a man who was a shaman, and he was in a small sweat lodge of his own, but he had already started a fire in the desert, and he had done a rock circle. And as he was sitting and singing, we were introduced to him, and we talked to him probably for 15 minutes, maybe total. And what he wanted to show us was that we all vibrate at a frequency. And this is a question I'm asking you, Pete, as a Northern Cheyenne. Do you understand that in the song and in the dance routines that you and your family would espouse, do you understand that vibrating at the same frequency with the other dancers and with the other family members? Because what he did was, as he sang into the fire, was there were nine of us total around the fire, nine coyotes showed up, and they came from different directions. And to this day, I've been amazed by that level of connectiveness that the shaman had with the animal spirits. But I think what it was that the song alerted the animals that there's frequency out there, that there's something that they can tune into. The same way when you hunt, you wonder, you know, how does a predator live off of the desert when there's basically no life around, but they're able to sustain themselves for months, and it's because they tune in to the frequency of the prey animal, that their sensitivities are geared in a way that ours as humans aren't, because we're trained to use our five senses. There are other senses that you can employ, you know, to survive. So, Pete, what I'm basically talking to you is this was one of the more profound experiences for me when I was growing up. And I think at that time, back in 72, I was probably like 21. But still to this day, it was like such an empowering experience, and that I was able to go into very dangerous situations in backcountry and know that the frequency that I manifested would always get me out of any situation that would appear to be, you know, whether it was with grizzlies or with Sasquatch or with other type of animals that were generally, you know, out to do me some harm on the surface level, that I had this ability to at least energize a level of faith in all the animals, that it didn't make me a prey animal so much. And because I was pretty sure that we were north of Reno, maybe about 40 miles past Reno, going like up toward Winnemucca, does that register as being real with you, that there are these types of teachers and healers in Northern Cheyenne that would teach you that, the, you know, there are animal spirits that will match with you and you can sing and call them in?
Pete?
Our ceremonial songs are all titled by animal names, such as
wow.
the badger and the wolf song, eagle song. Yeah. So in our ceremonies, yeah, I would explain it as a spiritual connection to the animals. They are our relatives here on Earth. And
thank you.
For instance, the wolf, he taught us our ways of being one people. A wolf mates for life, and they live their lives in such a way that they connect, and they, like when you see in movies or whatever today, that, you know, a whole pack of wolves will attack an animal from all directions. So we learn things from them. They taught us our ways in life and our spiritual beliefs. And yeah, you can actually, in a ceremony, like such as a fasting ceremony, these animals will come to you and you can communicate with them.
That's absolutely correct.
They're very important to us.
Is that what you think was happening with the 9 coyotes showed up? Do you think they were bringing a message or something, or do you think they were summoned? How do you interpret what happened to Jeff that day so long ago?
Well, if he was a true medicine man, he had the ability to transform. So when he sang his song into the fire, a fire is a very important part of our ceremonial life. There's always a fire involved, and so what I would interpret him as what he did, he called on the Great Spirit to send messengers for each of those individuals from the animal world or animal spirit. And so they came, and what they did is they exchanged in communication. The coyotes gave him guidance and how he could teach these individuals to understand and have a way of life that would be a very positive and provide them guidance in their daily lives. So,
it's a beautiful interpretation.
A medicine man has great faith. He's a true believer.
So Jeff, are you familiar with Marsha and Pete's Dead Horse Canyon series? Have you seen or read any of those books yet?
No, that's definitely on my things to do. But Pete, that whole area, I know I lived in Boise, so I used to do a lot of mining for aquamarine and opal. down south into northern Nevada. You can walk that land and it is alive. It looks like desert, but that's the trick. When you're walking on the desert, there's more energy and more bursts of things that happen. The wind is different because of the heat reflecting off of the sand. It's really an amazing time. Whenever I would go, I would have to go for the weekend because I usually do my mining about 150 miles south of Boise. So once you get out there, you have to be very good with your compass because it's so easy to get turned around. And then, you know, suddenly a leisurely mining trip becomes a life and death adventure. But the energy in the land will always lead you to some place where you can get a view that will orient you so that you're safe. And that's the one thing that I learned about Northern Cheyenne territory was that the land really does reach back and talk to you. It's not just, you know, you as a person wandering, you know, to try and find something to kill because we're out here hunting for bull elk or something. The land is alive. The land really interacts. And that is probably, I think, one of the greatest gifts I took from, and even not only the Northern Cheyenne, but the Nez Perce up in the Kootenai Valley, up in the panhandle of Idaho. Those the beings that inhabited that area are so much more spiritually advanced than, you know, the Caucasian people because we're so technologically dependent. We really have misplaced the ability to connect with the language of the land. The land speaks in some really different, not recognizable form, but if you can find a way to connect to it, nine coyotes may show up in your life. And yeah. It's really a remarkable adventure just to be able to explore the land of Northern Cheyenne. It's different. It really is. And I've been all over the United States. So that's my, go on, I'm sorry.
So Marcia, how did you incorporate this kind of spirituality into the Dead Horse Canyon stories?
Well, that could take a while. Basically, I create my characters and my characters write the story and they essentially dictate it to me and I write it down. My characters continually surprise me and do things that I don't believe I ever could have thought of. So in some respects, I'm somewhat channeling them. So when I created my Native American character and I just got into his persona and it was natural for him to communicate with the animals. And if he saw an animal, he would take a moment to ponder what its message might have been. There is one scene in the first book where he actually communicates with a tree, an aspen tree, where he, you know, it's the site of the accident that starts the story out. And this tree was right there by the site of the accident. And this ledge right below where the vehicle first landed, there was a young aspen tree that later was broken off. And he's looking at that and thinking, this aspen is also mourning for a loss of her young tree. And later, you know, he feels the tree telling him that answers to the accident that killed his best friend are in the truck that's down in the bottom of this canyon. And he gets this impression from the tree. And so continually through there, this is part of the way he is integrated with nature, his entire environment. He's part of the environment. And therefore, they help him, the different spirit animals. And I, like I say, he just did what he did, and I just followed along. And then when I found Pete, I thought, okay, some of this may be just completely off the wall and crazy, and that's why I wanted Pete's opinion. And Pete would say, oh, no, that could be. So I was like, okay.
Ah, what fun.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, Jeff, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
your
participation. You brought in some interesting points.
Yeah,
Pete brought a tear to my eye. He actually did. That, you know, the different frequencies, and it's 50 years ago for me, and it was just nice to be able to see that recognized on a level that was operational, not just like some fantasy. It happened. It was literal. It stayed with me for 50 years. I was very fortunate to have that happen at such a young age. So everybody
had a great experience.
And keep in mind, Jeff, we're vibrating every Wednesday evening on this podcast. So if you want to come back every week, we've got some interesting guests. We appreciate the calls. Yes.
I will. I'm at work. You got me at work.
All right.
I've got to get back to my people. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Goodbye.
So to be clear here, this is right now two books are out in the Dead Horse Canyon series. There's expected to be three. You're working on the third one right now, and they are thrillers. They're spirituality-based Native American style stories, but they're mysteries and murder and mayhem and all that fun stuff that makes thrillers so exciting as well. Now, the first book, you started telling us how the story started there. You want to tell us a little bit more about what to expect in the first book, and we want to ask you about the covers.
Okay. Well, they are also a conspiracy type thriller. The bad guys in this are the government, essentially. And this accident in the very beginning was they were taken out by a security force because they found something that they were not supposed to see. So the person who's killed, his wife survives the accident, but of course she can't remember anything. And he was the main character, Charlie Little Wolf. He was Charlie's best friend, and so he has a real interest in solving what happened to his white brother because he senses that there's something wrong. It was not just an accident. There was something bad going on. As the story begins, Charlie has been separated from his culture. He has not been really into it for many years. But he realizes as he thinks of his dead grandfather, whose name was Eagle Feathers, and the teachings that his grandfather gave to him when he was younger, he realizes that he could get the answers through returning to the Cheyenne way and returning to these spiritual practices that could help him to solve the mystery. So part of the whole series is Charlie coming back to his culture and then progressing through it such that by the third book, he will be a very powerful medicine man. So he's just starting the process in the first book, and he and his best friend's widow are trying to solve the mystery of what happened, what her husband found or did that caused him to be killed like that. And by the end of the first book, they do find out what he discovered. And he, as he was dying, he told his wife or asked his wife, don't let them get away with this. So then that, once she understands what it is, and in book two, it's like, okay, now we know what he found. Now we're going to spill the beans and publicize what he found. And of course, that makes her a target because these very powerful people are not very happy to have their dirty little secrets put out there. And so they put a price on her head. And that's largely what happens in book two, where Charlie goes to work for an oil company, by the way. And then he has an accident and he goes back to the reservation and he's learning more from his uncle about the spiritual practices and what he needs to do to really cleanse his soul and follow his destiny. And I don't want to give everything away in the book, but that is pretty much the where it's going and how it ends. And the second book picks right up in the third book. It actually started out as one big story, but it was too long for one book, so it had to be broken up into a trilogy. It would have been longer than Gone with the Wind.
So these covers are just, I mean, they're amazing. They're beautiful.
I love
how did these come about?
Well, just luck. I went out there looking at stock photos. I generally, for the most part, I design my own covers. and I found the main picture of the Native American, and especially since it had, you can barely see it on there, but there's actually a wheel there, like a zodiac wheel, and there's an astrologer in the story, and that seemed to fit that. And then also in the background on the cover is the road where this accident happened in Dead Horse Canyon. So I just went out there looking for stock photos that captured the essence of the book and put them together. And I was happy with the cover, and Pete was. And I just don't know, though, because I'm not sure if people are getting a true impression of what the story is about from them. I don't know. I'd be interested in other people's opinion on those covers, because it's not just about the Native American character, even though he's the main character, and his journey is the most important part of the story, which becomes more and more evident as time goes on and will really culminate in the third book. But, you know, we want people to read the story, because it is a mystery and a thriller and all kinds of fun stuff. It's gotten good reviews. It's gotten 5 stars from Reader's Favorite. Both the books have. They've given them really, really nice reviews. And so, anyway, it's not just written for Native Americans or about Native Americans. It's incorporated into the story and very important part. But it's not just a...
You mentioned the TV series Longmire the other day when we were talking, which was a series I liked very much, and that show did that. I mean, it set out west, and they incorporated all those elements, and they had characters who were Native Americans as well as, you know, Caucasians, and I just like the way that was done. But listeners, if you want to give some feedback to Marcia about her covers, you could call in, or you could tweet, hashtag Fresh Ink Group, or after the show anytime, just you send us a note. We'll pass it along to Marcia. Because she is curious about what people think, if they're getting the right impression that is a thriller, what those stories are about. I think they're beautiful covers, but
I do too.
You're right.
I think they're
the package, you know.
Very eye catching, and when you look at them, there's a lot going on, and it's, I'm guessing it all into the stories. We do have a comment on Twitter from Ver Wayne. He's got a comment. Tied into what Jeff was talking about. He says, when I lived and walked the Hiawatha National Forest in the Upper Peninsula, I could feel the land.
There.
Yeah, I stayed there. We spent a week up there camping 1 year back when I was a kid. He says, I could feel the land talking to me, and I could get incredibly close to moose, deer, bears, and wolves. I stayed quiet and remained calm. I would run into the same animals quite often. And they'd say, how you doing?
I kept running into a skunk when I stayed at a lake up there one time, so I don't know what that says about me. my friend, the skunk came around. We're sitting at the picnic table, and the skunk walks up and just looks at us. My friends took off, jumped in the car, left me sitting at the picnic table. Then they started flashing their lights and honking the horn. Okay.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, the skunk.
The skunk just looked at me like, you're with these people, you know? So if he was bringing me a message, I think it was telling me the time to move on.
Yeah, your friends stink or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, this, you say that you got the third book coming out. Is this going to be the final book, or are you going to add more? Is it just going to be a trilogy?
Well, that's the plan, but who knows? I thought my science fiction series was going to be a trilogy, and it turned into four books, and actually 5. So we will keep writing until the story is done, but right now the plan is for it to be 3.
Pete, are you having fun working on these?
Sorry?
Pete, are you having fun working on these?
Yes, I am. It was a great challenge to learn what I did for the first book, but I'm happy about not giving up. We're from two entirely different cultures, and she lives at the southern border, and I live at the northern border, sort of many miles apart. from two different worlds. And so, but anyway, I look back and I'm very proud to see my name on the book cover.
Yeah, you should be.
And I'm very proud of all the awards that the books have achieved.
Yeah.
They've achieved the first one, we won 4 awards for it, and the second one we won 5.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Now, when you're working with Marcia, a trilogy can turn into a tetralogy just like that. So are you game? Are you in if she keeps going after this third book?
Well, to be truthful, I'd have to take a break. Yeah.
Well, we took a break after the second one. It's the second one came out a year ago, and we've taken a break, but we've done a lot of reading. I have read, and I'm sure Pete has also, over 1,000 pages of research material, and just trying to really incorporate a lot of the Cheyenne history into the stories as part of who Charlie is. And so now we're finally really buckling down and writing, but we did a lot of background research this past year.
All right.
So one thing I had mentioned in my own little newsletter that I put out the other day was that I would be giving away a signed copy of the first book, and I would be telling them on this podcast how they could enter a drawing to do that. So I guess I ought to do that. Are they going to think that,
yeah,
you know, I'm
about to find out how I'm getting my signed copy of that first book.
Well, Stephen, you get one. You don't have to enter the drawing. I will make sure that you use that one. But I was trying to think, well, what could they do to prove that they had listened to the podcast and got the secret word to go into the drawing? And so the secret word is sweet medicine spirit. And okay, I lied. It's 3 words. But if they will email that to me at marciafox@gmail.com, and it's Marcia, MarchaFox.com. If they'll email me that secret triple word, they will go into a drawing, and I will, usually what I do then is I print them out on little pieces of paper, and I have my cat pick one, so it's worth the test. And then they'll get a signed copy of the first book.
You
so
want to
MarciaFox@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, and Marcia, MarchaFox. My mom was creative, and you know the way it is.
You want to do that 3-word phrase again one more time?
Sweet medicine spirits.
All right.
That is the subtitle of book 3.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. Cool. So we're starting to run down on our time here, but Marcia, do you want to mention your other books briefly and see if we can stir up a little bit of sales for those too? I'm a big fan of your science fiction, and I really like that character in the Area 51.
Yeah, that was so much fun. I think that's my favorite book out of it too, because it had some humor in there that some of the people that read it just said it was, you know, what was the phrase? Something like scintillating science and side-splitting humor. Because when you're looking at humans through the eyes of a vegetable, a sentient vegetable being, it was pretty funny. And I there were times when I was laughing pretty hard when I was writing that book. So it was a fun book to write. The tetralogy is a little more serious. It's actually pretty applicable to what we're seeing today. I'm kind of surprised that parts of it are a little bit prophetic, but it's kind of my past now. It seems so long ago that I wrote that, but actually one of my fans who read these books years ago, she lives up by where my daughter does, and when I first published them, I gave my daughter a set of the books for her to have put in their school library. And this woman read him, and she really loved him and just became my greatest fan. And she won a copy of the Terror Debacle from my last giveaway from my newsletter. And she told me that she finally convinced her reading club to read the Tetralogy. And that
wow.
her little book club now is reading it. And that just absolutely made my day to think after all these years. And she's always been just my number one fan, Becky Salvador. And that she is having her book club read my series. I mean, that just absolutely warmed my heart. That was awesome. So
one anyway. Real fan is worth 10 sort of fans, always.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're just getting kind of depressed or something or discouraged, and then someone like that comes along and it, you know, it just really thinks, oh, wow, you know, this is so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you had some good fan reaction other than tons of awards? Have you been out doing any events? Have you met some people? Have you got some fan mail? Do you go outside and see Sky writing, Marsha, we love your books?
You know, not really, because the first book came out right smack in the middle of COVID. And, you know, it was lockdowns and social distancing and all that. And so I never got to go out there and pound the pavement like I would have otherwise. And just since that whole time, I have been so reclusive, and I live in a rural area where there's not too many opportunities anyway. And so I'd have to really get out there and do some serious traveling and whatever. So I missed out on that, because with my science fiction books, I'd go to book fairs and this and that. And with this time, just the whole social climate has not been so conducive to that. I did one book fair online, but it just isn't the same. You know, it's not
yeah.
the same as being in the room with a bunch of other authors and networking with them and meeting fans. And so, yeah, unfortunately, haven't done much, mostly online. And I do have some really, really good fans. And one of them is actually the president of my astrology school, Ina
Ooh.
Stanley. She absolutely went nuts in the first book. She absolutely went nuts. She just loved it so much. And she loved the second book. And she just can't wait for the third. And so she's been my, you know, one of my absolute greatest fans, and many other people that just love the first one. And it's like, hurry up and write that third one. We want to know what happened. In fact, when the second one came out, the person who she read them both in quick succession, and she sent me an email and wanted to sign up for the third book before it had even been started, you know, before I even started writing it, because she just wanted that third book. So that makes you feel pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question for both of you and Pete. Do you have any advice for other people out there who are thinking about writing a book?
Well, my answer to that would be, if they're thinking about writing it, then start writing it. And then you'll see how far you get. You'll see how much you enjoy it. If it becomes a part of your soul, so to speak, if it just feels so good in that creative mode, do it. Do it. And every book you write, you learn something and you get a little better.
Yeah.
Pete, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, if it's a book that includes Native Americans, follow what Marsha get contact me and asking me to help her with co-authored book, because you're learning directly from that individual about that specific tribe or in general, and your information is much more accurate.
So
it makes for a better book.
Yeah, so you would advise then that if the opportunity presents, try to find somebody who knows the history or has lived it or is part, has it in the family or whatever, so that you can get that firsthand, not only get that experience and knowledge, but also somebody who can fact check you and make sure that you're being legitimate and that you have all the verisimilitude and whatnot. So that's great advice, Pete. Now, you mentioned that you've been helped Marcia on this. What if somebody else had a question for you or something like that? Would you be interested in us passing along a note from people if they use our contact form or maybe receiving a letter or something like that?
Yeah, sure. I'd be open to having a intelligent, positive conversation with others that were interested in who I was and my background life story. My address is P.O. Box 598, Ashland, Montana, 59003. And you have my phone number, and it's 406-598-1820. So
okay,
I'm always open to a pleasant conversation.
That was 598 Ashland, Montana, 59003?
Yes.
Okay. Am I missing a city in there, Beam?
A city.
It's 598 Ashland.
598, yeah. It's P.O. Box.
Oh, P.O. Box. I got it.
Ashland, Montana.
Ashland, Montana, 59003. Great. And, of course, like I say, we have a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. Anybody who sends us a note there, we'll pass it along. If you want to pass it along to Pete.
Yeah.
Right.
I could give you my email address also. It's prisingsun2@icloud.com.
iCloud.com. Okay, that's Pete Rising Sun, the figure 2, at iCloud.com.
Yeah.
Great. So, Marcia, how do people find you and your websites and your sign up for your newsletter and hit you up on Facebook or wherever?
Well, yeah, I'm on Facebook. Just search on my name. And the book website is dead-force-canyon.com, and it has lots of information, and it also has contact information and a sign-up form for our newsletter. And I promise I do not spam people. I'm lucky to get one a month out. So.
Sounds like me. One a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather be writing on the book, but it's, you know, need to get them out there once in a while.
Okay, that's the Dead Horse Canyon series by Marcia Fox and Pete Rising Sun. Two books are out now. We encourage you to get those, try them out, and then we're looking forward to book 3 coming up soon.
Yeah.
Which I hear the subtitle for that one's going to be Sweet Medicine Spirits, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. So it'll be The Revenge of Dead Horse Canyon, Sweet Medicine Spirits.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Next week, we're going to have Avante Centre, an author from out west. Beam, who we got after that?
After that, we've got Stacy Troilo from the Story Empire crew.
Forward to meeting her. Linda Mims, authoress of House of Neon. And we've known her for many, many years, but we've never had her on the show. We're looking forward to having a good talk with her.
And after that, we have a rerun because Mr. G's and I will be down at the Holy Church of Country Music, the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. But we won't be listening to country music. We'll be listening to classic Led Zeppelin stuff. Will have on that night, which is November 30th, we will have a rerun of the Jerry Pate episode, which was quite popular and very interesting. So tune in for that.
Yeah, the Jerry Pate, by the way, the Jerry Pate book trailer for Submariner over on YouTube, I noticed is running about 700 views so far, so let's keep that number going up. Keep smashing that like button as well. After that, we're going to have Tom Stewart, and then we've got a week we need to fill, and December 21st for Christmas. What's happening, Dean?
We have the Mighty Wide Track, good Michigan rock and roll band, and they're making a return visit. We'll probably be playing some of their new music. They got a new album coming out. I noticed that this past weekend they were finishing up the mixing on it. So some good stuff there. So tune in for that.
All right. So on our way out, we're going to play a commercial for Patricia A. Guthrie's newest book. And I want to thank our guests again, Marcia Fox and Pete Rising Sun, co-authors of the Dead Horse Inn series. And we're looking forward maybe to having you guys back when that book 3 comes out.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, we would love it. We
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks,
we'll see everybody next week.
Next week, everybody.
Psychologist Annabelle O'Brien flees from her psychotic ex-husband in New York City, only to find he is stalking her across the country with deadly intentions. She takes a job in the resort town of Lake Nage. When a series of attacks place her in even greater danger, Annabelle turns to hostile burnout of a detective, Mark Driscoll, who is assigned to protect her. Then, two women who resemble her are murdered, and the town is gripped with fear. Mark and Annabelle must work together to catch the killer before he catches them. From the celebrated author of such bestsellers as Legacy of Danger and her collection Eerie Charms of the Short Story, Water Lilies Over My Grave is a novel of psychological suspense about one woman searching for a new life even as she is threatened by her old one. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Water Lilies Over My Grave is available in all print and digital formats worldwide.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.